Easter comes every year, and this is my 17th Easter message. And there's only one theme. So you can see, it gets a little bit challenging as the year passes. As I've been promising, I want to make it short and sweet. So I'd like to share with you three things that crossed my mind as I was reading this year's Easter scripture reading. First one is that life is change. Everything changes. And if here is one person can raise your hand and say, nothing has changed to me at all since the day my birth, let me know. Actually, you can, right? So it's an amazing thing, the journey that human beings take. At a conception, you're nothing but a single cell. From that to 9 months later, you're full human. And you go through basically whole process of, you may call it evolution. And at first yet, you're not ready. You don't even know you have fingers and toes. You can't even distinguish my body to your body. You have no idea what it is, who you are, either that's food or not. You're just a living thing. And from that time to maybe give or take 4 or 5 years later, you are suddenly running and jumping and thinking and you have your own preferences. No, daddy, I like blue, not the red. You know, mommy, I don't like that food. Why not? It tastes weird. I like this food better. And you develop your own personality somehow in an amazing way. And you're curious to know everything, you learn, and at the same time, you now start to fight against yourself in a way. One way, your parents are saying, honey, you need to study, but you want to play. Because studying's not fun, playing's fun. So, in a way, this is life struggle, isn't it? Can you really do all the things that's just fun only? No, right? You got to do something else. So you need to have sustaining your life, and also there has to be some fun. Life continues, you grow up, suddenly you're an adult. Now you're responsible for your life. You have to make the decisions, and your decisions will make lasting impact on you. And then your parents, and then you see your grandparents, and your days are getting very short. This whole spectrum of journey in our life, everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Yet, we have a strong desire for something that's stable, unchangeable, permanent. In a way, that's probably why we address God so many times in the Bible, unchanging, permanent, everlasting. And we sometimes develop a desire to want to stabilize things the way I like it. It's called the desire to control. Sometimes we want to control things that happens around us, happens within me, happens to even our family members. Truth is, you can't control, or we can't control what happens at all, actually. To a degree, we could modify it. To a degree, we can prevent it. To a degree, we could kind of maybe tweak it a little bit. But at the end of the days, you can't really control what happens. What you can control, or you could control, is how you react to it, how you process them, and how you live with it. Meaning, you cannot control the world and change the world. You can control and change you to process the world. And if you read the gospel, where are the disciples? On that very day, Jesus was basically crucified. And he was buried hurriedly because it was already evening and they could not do the proper burial. That was now, day was Passover night. So, things, you cannot touch actually corpse. Did you know that? if you read the Old Testament carefully, touching the corpse requires cleansing, purification time, which means you cannot actually go for your Passover meal. So, who buried Jesus, we don't know. But we know that it was done very hurriedly and rushily. So, that morning, 2 days later, 3 days later, only women. Sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three, sometimes it's only one, sometimes it's a whole bunch. All four Gospels tell all different ways. But it's always women. And there are no disciples. They come to the tomb. And in Mark, they come to do the proper ritual for the burial of the body. Big change. These disciples, they wanted Jesus to be this way. Jesus saying, no, I'm not that way. I'm this way. And for that, they all scattered. They were all afraid. They all left. Or they were just all lost altogether. So, last thing about this is that things happen to us. It is okay to be lost for a while. That's the process. Even in a way, it is okay to deny it for a while. It happened to the disciples too. What matters is at the end, you need to put yourself together and see which part is indeed under your control and which part is not, and have to accept it. The second is knowing and living are two different things. And anybody disagree? You know, whenever we have some problem, whenever we have an issue, either relationship or work, career, what we do is we try to find an answer, way to solve it. Sometimes we believe that if I can just find that right knowledge, I can just fix this thing. But the classic wisdom from all teachers says that problem is not here, problem is here. It is not about finding the right knowledge. It is about understanding it right in you. Like you have those moments, like you heard the same thing over and over and over again, right? Maybe up to 100 times. And sometimes, finally, that time, you heard it, really. Like saying, yes, now I understand it. It happens. That's what it means about 3 days. Our office manager, Dana, actually on Thursday, ran to my office and as she was preparing a newsletter and said, I have a really important question. What is it? Why is it 3 days? Was Jesus really buried for 3 days? Have you ever counted it, actually? So, he was probably buried around 5 to 6 p.m. on Friday. And he was resurrected probably between 5 to 6 a.m. on Sunday. How many days is it? It's roughly 36 hours. Not even 48 hours. Why do you call it 3 days? Number 3 has a very important symbolic meaning. 3 means a completion of a process. So, when we know something, we know it as knowledge. And then later, we understand its usefulness, but we're not still living it. But when the process is somehow done here and here, now finally you say, yes, I think I have to live it. And there's no doubt about it. It's completely done. And your heart is in it. And one example I can give it to you from my personal life, my wife has been telling me, you need to lose weight. You need to cut your light evening snacks. And I've been telling her that yes, honey, I agree with you. I'll do it. It took me 10 years. And finally, we did it not because of my real willingness, but because of my health episode. I had arrhythmia and I had cath test, and doctor was saying about 75 chance you may have artery blocked, and you know, I had a whole thing, and like, whoa, yes, okay, I'll lose my weight, I'll change my diet, and sometimes it took it that much. I knew it, of course. I could even write a book about that, but never really loved them. Maybe one part of saying maybe it's okay, another part of saying, you know, in a way, it's not a big deal. The other part was saying, just ignore it. So when you know something to be true, when you really know something to be really true, now later, when you cannot deny but to live that way, and that's the third time. In the 3 days in Mark here, three women. And woman in Swedenborgian symbolism symbolizes affections. Not affections as the pleasing feelings. Affection in from Latin word affectio, meaning that something that moves you to do something. So it's called inner motivator. That really truly moves you. The three women, three layers, 3 degrees of motivators that comes to prepare Jesus. Third one is that death is not the end, but the beginning. And this is the hardest. As this wonderful, beautiful boy was saying, that doesn't make any sense. And if you were to tell me it makes 100% sense to you, I suggest you think about it again. Because I'm preaching to you, but it makes only like 90% of sense. Or sometimes 60%. Sometimes even less. Simple reason. We have body. We live in this physical world. Our consciousness is not only embedded, but fully functional, or actually designed and trained to function in this reality. And accepting that death is not the end but the beginning is actually denying that and trying to see something that is invisible to it. So, if it fully makes sense to you, you're an angel, or you need to think about it again. Meaning, it's okay to have a little bit of doubt about it. It is okay to even argue about it. It is even okay to deny about it. Only be true to yourself. If you're not true to yourself by yourself, there is no real improvement. And I respect the disciples in a way. They were very true to themselves. When they were afraid, they show fear. When they cannot believe, they say, I can't believe it. When they feel like running away, they run away. I think it's all, in a way, all purposeful that all disciples were picked, chosen, and kind of described in such a way. It shows how we are and how we go through. Even if we hear wonderful, great news, right after that comes a doubt, uncertainty. Could that be really true? It doesn't make sense. Mark ends without really great explanations here. Even in Mark, just a young man with white clothes. There's no real indication about it was an angel. And then there was no real indication that this female, three women were very happy about resurrection, or they got it. They were afraid. One side of their mind is saying, did somebody steal Jesus' body? Was it really true? Was it not? Was it really true that you live forever? Was it really true that you actually are spirit and have body as your cloth? Can you see it? That's a hard question. Very hard question. How do you believe something that you cannot see? And that's where we come to human perception. You perceive things. And many times I believe it's been proven to you that what you perceive to be true is much more real than what looks to be true. There is inner perception you have, and that tells you this is right. This is true. This is what you really are. And there are compelling, apparent truths around you telling that, no, you're not that. You are just a thing that will live for about 70 to 100 years and will disappear forever. You have something within you that not only connects to God. The most wonderful thing about Jesus Christ. I was asked this question this year again. Why did Jesus come taking human body? And this is my last thing to share today. It is because we are that precious. It is because each human is that valuable. It is because each human being is that much powerful. Enough to contain, to be the vessel of the divine. Jesus had the full human body, and divinity was contained within it, fully functioning. Each one of you could be that vessel. And the most important thing is, sometimes what you truly believe becomes your reality. So believe. Amen.